Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. It's Debbie Dashinger. Today's going to be a great show because I am speaking with Barbara Hand Clow, who's an internationally acclaimed astrologer, ceremonial teacher, author, and Mayan calendar researcher. Barbara has authored numerous books. She's taught thousands of students worldwide how to navigate the nine dimensions to lead fuller, more conscious lives. This show, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger, podcast one, three Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast, Welp Magazine named Dare to Dream, one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it's high ranking on Apple Podcasts. So you can find this show wherever you watch your favorite podcasts. Just be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. We really appreciate it. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here and Access Consciousness. They do energy work all around the world. If you would like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to drdanehere.com. That's Dane here, H-E-E-R.com. Would you like to know your galactic ancestry? You can unlock your cosmic potential with a free starseed video and report. Explore various types of starseeds and uncover your galactic origins. Don't miss this chance to connect with your star lineage. I promise you, I've had a galactic Akashic record reading a few times. It's life-changing to know this information, the real inception of your soul and all the planets you've been to, the kind of work you've done, the kind of people you've been, beings you've been. It is so worth it. Don't miss it. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. All the links will also be in the show notes and descriptions. That's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. And finally, my second interview on Gaia TV with George Noory on Beyond Belief has been released. I would love you to support me and support the show and go there and watch the first episode or the second or both. They're completely different conversations, fascinating stuff that George and I dive into. And I've got a gift for you. So if you would like to watch my interviews and you don't have a subscription, let me give you a free one to Gaia TV. Go to debbiedashinger.com/Gaia, G-A-I-A. You will love the material there. Now on to the show. So my guest today, Barbara Hand Clow, is an internationally acclaimed ceremonial teacher and, my goodness, the author of 15 nonfiction books such as The Pleiadian Agenda, Alchemy of Nine Dimensions, Awakening the Planetary Mind, and Revelations Trilogy. Barbara was the acquisitions editor for Bear & Company from 1983 to 2000 and then became a full-time writer, teacher, and researcher. Bear & Company Publishing released the revised 20th anniversary of Alchemy, of Nine Dimensions in October 2024. And what a book it is. Her website has in-depth descriptions of how to do your own Pleiadian activation, offers interviews, and she does an astrological analysis of the four seasons as a counseling device. If you'd like to learn more about Barbara Hand Clow, go to her website at handclow, that's CLOW2012.com. And with that, I welcome the amazing Barbara Hand Clow to Dare to Dream. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Debbie.
Hi. Yeah, it's such a pleasure. This is so timely. I don't believe in accidents. There is information in here that I started coming into my field. And so you went very deep into it. which lets me know I'm on the right path. And also, just absorbing your brilliance of being able to comprehend so many different pieces of the cosmic puzzle and the earth puzzle and somehow weave them all together to make sense on this very 3D, but also very cosmic journey that we're on. So, how was it for you putting this together and also the 20th anniversary book?
Yeah, well, it started with the Pleiadian Agenda, A New Cosmology for the Age of Light, which came out in 1995. And that was a channel book, the only channel book I've ever written. And so then my husband, Jerry, and I, we've been married 50 years and we teach together and everything. And he and I went out and taught the material that came in from the Pleiadians for 10 years. And during that time, I was collecting data that verified all these crazy things the Pleiadians said in 1995. Like, I know new science well enough to know that a lot of it was going totally against conventional science. Kind of hard for me to write the book because of that, but I did. So in 2010, I decided to do a scientific analysis of the Pleiadian agenda. And this is the only scientific analysis of a channel book that I've heard of so far. And so that came out in 2011. And then I kept on going, teaching and all that. And then more data came in and more data came in. And now the data that has come in, especially during the recent 10 years, but especially just as you and I were talking today, this is April 2025. And in March 2025, some of the most startling discoveries that have occurred on our planet happened. And I'm sure we're going to want to talk about that. But those discoveries are turning out to be a total verification for the material that I brought in, even the way I ended up teaching it. That was the most mysterious thing, was I just came up with this way to teach this crazy stuff. And it turns out that people have been doing that particular method for at least 10,000 years. So we're really at an amazing point now. And it's a real delight to be on your show because I've always felt that the whole yin and yang teaching with half dark and half light, I've always felt that that was a good teaching and a very correct teaching. But boy, are we in the middle of getting a teaching now, because just as soon as the light comes in, such as these discoveries on the Giza Plateau a few weeks ago, then the dark comes in. And so right now, as we're sitting together in a position to talk to each other in 3D, the global financial system has never been closer to a state of collapse. And so there's just this incredible awakening going on now, where a person understands something in the dark, and then what happens next is then they get an insight on the light side. And I think the more that all of us look at it that way, I think the better, because we can avoid being afraid and feeling like it's dangerous or anything like that. It just simply is the way it is.
That's super helpful. I'm glad you're talking about these things right now. And yes, right before we get into that, because I think that edification for the audience is going to be very helpful with your outstanding astrological understanding of what is going on and why we're supposed to be where we are, as uncomfortable as it may be for many people. I just want people to know a little bit about you, Barbara, because you have had this extraordinary journey weaving astrology, ancient civilizations, ET contact, and also consciousness studies. So, talk about your spiritual experience at the age of 5 and a half when you had a profound encounter with other dimensions that you describe as either a near-death experience or as an abduction.
Thanks for picking up on that one, because it really is a crucial point. And I'm quite sure that it was a near-death experience. It certainly bore all the marks of that. But what happened in the physical plane was I was sitting on the top of about a 12 to 14 foot tall column that's near my house that I like to sit on. It had a great big round concrete ball on the top of it. And I used to just sit up there and just tune into the universe. And there was and still is a cathedral about 1,000 feet from my house and where that tower was located. So while I was sitting up there, the bells of the cathedral rang at a very, very loud level. And I just passed out and fell off the column. And then my parents found me like 4 or 5 hours later. In other words, I passed out for 4 or 5 hours. Well, those 4 or 5 hours were actually the most defining moments of this whole lifetime. Because what happened is I went into an ascension process that's exactly the same thing as Enoch described. Now, Enoch was a spiritual teacher and a theologian around 100 BC, approximately, in early Christianity. And he was not allowed to be in the Bible. He's considered an apocryphal writer, and he was not allowed into the Bible because what he was talking about is what happens when you really get in touch with spirit. So I went all the way up through 9 to 11 dimensions of consciousness into very, very high planes of consciousness and received a whole bunch of teachings at that point. And then the problem was that I was just not going to be a normal child from that point on. And I can't tell you what those teachings were. I can't remember them. I can remember the experience of going up like that. But at the same time, I think probably a lot of those teachings are coming through my work. But I can't, there's no way I can verify that, you know. So where my work started was my grandfather, who was half Cherokee and half Welsh. He noticed that I was in very bad shape, and he didn't know what had happened to me, but I was in the typical kind of condition that a person is in after a near-death experience, totally disoriented, had no idea why I was here. I didn't know why I was alive. My parents were busy, of course, you know how that is. So my grandfather and my Irish grandmother decided to start teaching me because they felt that I had had an unusual spiritual breakthrough. And they felt if they taught me the mysteries and higher consciousness that I could survive. And I'm sure I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So I went to their house, which was 8 or 10 miles away, 3 or 4 weekends a week, starting at age 6, basically, and then until I was age 17 when I went away to school. And so I received the Cherokee records from my grandfather because he was a Cherokee record keeper. And then my grandfather was also a 33rd degree Mason. And so I've had a hell of a time in this lifetime sorting out what's Cherokee and what's Masonic. It's a continual quest, you know. Then my grandmother was very, very tuned in to the spirits and to the little people, and she was very mystical. And I just had a completely mystical training, literally. They deliberately trained me when I was a child, and I'm so fortunate to have had that experience. And so I never shut down, Debbie, is what I'm kind of trying to say. Other people around me kept shutting down, but I just never shut down. And I still haven't shut down.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question about that because a lot of people I meet who are doing the work as visibly as you are and have been, after a period of time or decades, they say, that's it. I'm not traveling anymore. I don't want to go around the world teaching. Is that true for you and Jerry as well? Or are you still from time to time offering what you know and do to the world?
I'm sure that we will be doing some things where we're not like we used to teach weekend workshops. We used to teach 10 of them a year, 12 of them a year, all over the world while we were running Bering Company, for example. So there's no way that we're going to resume a teaching level at that point. But what I feel like I probably will be doing and am doing is speaking like as I am with you. And then also on my website, these seasonal analyses are really important because we are really in a very, very difficult time. And it's not going to get easier at all, as far as I can see, till at least 2027.
I
The
keep
world's
hearing that.
At
I keep
least.
hearing that. Yes. I think in
Yeah.
the beginning, people such as yourself were being kind to the collective and just saying, this is going to be a hard year. So all of us in our minds thought, phew, I'll make it through this year and then next year will be easier. Now, finally, people are coming out and saying the truth, which is, yeah, we've got a span of time ahead of us, you know, pull up your britches kind of thing and dig your boots into the ground. And I do think that those of us who are in the spiritual path will have it a little easier because we're used to digging deep and growing and looking inside, doing the shadow work, doing the projection work, seeing what's ours, being responsible. And hopefully, and God knows this is my message right now, when I teach classes and people are asking, well, what can I do? What can I do? The simplest thing. Go outside, take off your shoes, put your feet in the grass, connect with the beautiful Mother Earth, who is not a resource, who feeds us, clothes us, houses us, but is here for us all the time. Give her respect and love and connect with her. Have conversation. Just start there. And then you can build it to connecting, like literally allowing the cosmos to flow through you and the earth energy to come up. And that is the most beautiful practice.
Yes, I
So,
totally agree with you. And I think it's great that you're doing that. And I also think that more and more people are going to be doing that because it's the only solace right now. 3D, the third dimension, linear space and time, is literally cracking into pieces at this point, and especially in the financial markets. And what I'm experiencing with that, I don't necessarily think it's going to be easier for those of us who are also teachers. Because the more we open up, the more we are accessing complicated and intense,
that's interesting.
frequencies. And so what I've been experiencing during the financial market crash, and I follow finance very closely. First of all, because I think it's important, but also I used to give financial astrological advice, like 30, 40 years ago in Chicago. And so I understand finance to some extent. And we're going into a head-to-head battle with China. That's what's happening. And I don't want that to be war, but the Chinese people are kind of like our mirror opposite. Friend out there, in the sense that the Chinese people are very frugal and they really work hard for the collective and for their country, and Americans are spendthrifts and how it is.
Debtors.
So we're a mirror image of each other, but China has gotten us into the corner at this point because China is actually in good financial condition and we are not. And so I don't really think it's going to be easier for us. Like for me this week, as the markets were going crazy, I kept feeling the third dimension crumbling all around me. Never felt anything quite like this before, and I realized, like, oh my God, I'm right. It is crumbling because we're moving into a higher frequency. We're moving into being able to cope with the fourth dimension, the dark and the light. And we have to master that. Anybody who's going to survive on Earth has to master those principles. And then we're also starting to move more firmly into the heart. So it's not a negative, but at the same time, it's extremely disorienting.
Yeah, thank you for clearing that up. Absolutely. I know because I read this beautiful blog that you wrote about what transpired before and during and upcoming with this March 2025 happening. So last fall, Pluto went into Aquarius. You say it's going to remain there till 2044. Which opened us up to the age of Aquarius. And in this online article, I just want to quote what you said. Spring equinox 2025 is a profound moment to sort out your intentions for the year and then meditate to find your balance. Do not miss this special opportunity because the energy you create for what you intend this spring will hugely ease the normal stresses that will arise during a year of such profound evolution. Can you elaborate on what that means for us as individuals as well as for the collective?
Well, Here I almost put us and the collective together in a way, because what I wrote about in that the larger theme in that spring equinox analysis is the issue of going beyond control by science. And I even referred used the term at one point scientific fascism, which really surprised my daughter, who's very scientific. But what has happened is science has taken over, insisted it knows everything, it's got everything all figured out. It's going to make a wonderful world for us. And then we're dealing with COVID-19 and vaccinations and people, elder people, and so on and so forth. I don't need to list, you know. In other words, science is really creating a wonderful world for us, isn't it? Including too many satellites in the sky. And now they're starting to fall into our dimension. And oh, I could, you know, this, we don't need, fortunately, everybody is very, very aware of these things. So in with the collective mind and with the individual, what's happening is the other side of science. Science has been like, it's been almost like the COVID-19 thing where you're either vaccinated or you're not. And if you're not vaccinated, you're not right. And if you do get vaccinated, and so on and so forth. And so now that the spiritual aspects of science are coming back to us, what's happening is we're going to go through a great fusion of the left and right brain regarding scientific consciousness. And scientific consciousness is very important for us because it's what makes us self-reflective. It's what allows us to look at an idea or a concept for a long, long time to really understand it in a deep way. That's just a very fundamental part of being human. And so, whammo, as you know, and I know, according to Indian tradition, the Kali Yuga just ended at the end of March, as well as Neptune going into Aries. And so now what's happening is we're accelerating exponentially in this process of this scientific awakening. And so what do we get? But an announcement in mainstream news on March 20th of the discovery of subterranean structures under the Giza Plateau. And then I jumped right into it big time. And this is part of what I want to talk about today, because I have been studying the issue of those structures under the Giza Plateau for 40 or 50 years in Egyptology. And then also I had discovered by reading the information by Radu Sinemar. This is Transylvanian Sunrise. And this is information about structures under the Bucegi Mountains in Romania. And so once the thing on Giza hit, once the announcement from Giza hit, those of us who were following what was going on in Romania just went, oh my God, this is the same culture. The Egyptian part of it is the part that goes from Rome. There's a tunnel that goes from Romania all the way under the Giza Plateau. And we started realizing that we now had at least two places on this planet where this technology was being discovered. And this technology is somewhere around 50 to 100,000 years old. People are activating it. Scientists on our planet are activating this ancient technology. And in case you haven't heard about it, these same structures exist under a megalithic site in Montana in the United States. So we're having this just incredible breakthrough. And I had heard about the Montana site because of the megaliths there, dolmens, huge dolmens, huge standing structures on the surface. But I had not heard anything about the area underground. But it turns out that this ground penetrating technology that uses satellites has also studied the underground area under this site in Montana. And so now we realize that we have at least three places on this planet where this ancient technology, and I do think the dating of 50 to 100,000 years is correct. And we could go into why. Certainly that's what most people believe is going on. For example, under the mountains in Transylvania, under the Bucegi site, The rooms have different benches in them and different ledges and different things, tables, things so that people who were working with the technology in those rooms have a place to sit or a place to write, whatever. Those are all designed for beings who were 9 to 15 feet tall. So this is very important tip because this takes us back to some of the Native American wisdom that I received as a child, which is we were taught that way, way, way before our time, there were giants in America. And the bodies, of course, have been dug up all over the place in Italy, in America, all over the planet. And in the United States, this is completely stifled information because the Smithsonian Institute used to take all the bodies of these 9 to 15 foot tall beings and do away with their bodies. So what I'm getting at is we are in right smack dab in the middle of a fast awakening of the fact that there was an ancient advanced civilization way before us, and that we are working at this point on evolving ourselves so that we can recover the ancient wisdom that we lost.
Yes. I love that we're talking about this. I got so fired up reading your book, and also I listened to it in my headphones at the gym. And this information is mind-blowing. It's the best sci-fi movie ever, and it's real. And after reading and listening to all of your information that you so generously share, I just had to start digging, digging, digging. So I want to ask you many questions about this subject. The first question is, when we talk about these 9 to 15 feet tall beings, is it assumed or thought that these beings were the Anunnaki, or is there another species that is attributed with having been in this area underground originally?
There's lots and lots of opinions on this. And for some reason, I've never been concerned about it. I mean, it's kind of obvious to me, always has been, that we're in a galaxy that's in a universe, and there's lots of other galaxies, and there's just lots of other beings and civilizations and cultures and genetic lines. And I've always thought that the idea that it wasn't that way was just so stupid that I hardly ever think about the idea that we're the only ones. I do think there's some really interesting issues that come up about the size of these beings and the size of these structures. Like, how come we're, sometimes like wonder, well, how come we're smaller now, and how come the spaces we live in are smaller? You know what I mean? Something has happened on this planet, certainly from an evolutionary genetic point of view. And that's been just aggressively covered up. And you have to ask, well, why has it been so important to cover this up? And this is where I think you have to go right to the Masons and secret societies and all that, because for some reason, some of the secret societies on our planet have done everything they could to keep us from getting this information. But at this point, Debbie, the cat's out of the bag. There, when you start getting announcements like in the Daily Mail in England about the site in Giza and what's underground there, and it's this particular site is under Khafre Pyramid. That's the middle pyramid on the Giza Plateau. And it's a mile underground, and what is it called? SARS technology, resonant technology. The same type of structures are under the Busegi Mountains in Transylvania, as I said. Now it turns out they're under Montana, and this is north of Helena, by the way. And then I also think that it was under Iraq. Now, let's go back to the invasion of Iraq by George Bush. And supposedly they were going to invade Iraq because there was some kind of dangerous technology in Iraq, right? Remember weapons of mass destruction?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, what I found out by studying Radu Sinemar, he's the author of Transylvania's Sunrise and seven other books, And what I found out was that the Americans got pictures. They were using the SARS technology also and scanning the earth. And they found structures like the ones under Bisedji. They found those under Iraq. And so I think that George Bush and the Americans were trying to get in there in order to get a hold of that technology.
Wow, so move over greed for oil. We have a whole nother potential here about what the Americans were really doing in Iraq. I have definitely heard about Iraq being connected to these underground tunnels, and I have not heard of Montana, so that's fascinating. That's one I'm going to explore. I just want to give the audience a little bit of background so they can follow this, because this is so fantastic, this information. All the way back in 2002, there was a Pentagon satellite that detected an unusual underground formation within what Barbara's talking about, Romania's Bucegi Mountains. And it revealed this tunnel that started leading to this large dome-shaped chamber. It has tables, it has chairs, it's suitable, as she's saying, for beings much taller than humans today. And it even has a holographic library showcasing the history of the universe. I love this information. What a time to be alive. So the chamber has said that it is protected by an energy barrier that actually could cause, to some people, fatal cardiac arrests if they attempted to access it unauthorized. So also just another piece, this discovery, which as they kept, so to speak, digging deeper into what is this, what is being picked up here, what is being detected, it showed five multi-level chambers, eight vertical shafts, two massive cubic chambers, and an extensive tunnel network that is leading to these places, completely different countries and places on the globe that Barbara is talking about. What do you think, Barbara, this means right now for us to
And just
find
to,
this and
yeah,
know
just,
this information?
yeah, just to correct you, that what you just described was what it was like under the Giza Plateau. And then the same type of buildings and all that were under the Bucegi Mountains. So anyway, what do I think it means? Is that what you just asked?
Yes, thank you. And thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. So what was your question?
Yeah, what does that mean that right now, in the midst of all this other interesting experience on the planet Earth and being human and part of an interesting even humanity with so many different dual choices, that this in particular would arise and become now common knowledge, that all of this exists, that frankly is showing the history we were taught, I think many of us in this field know was really not true. So what does it mean? And where do you think this is going to go?
Well, thank you for, and you actually almost walked into this when you mentioned that only certain people can go through the barrier to get into these structures, and that people can have cardiac arrest or whatever. And so all of the technology described by Radu Sinemar, because that's, it's kind of like Transylvania is kind of the university of the new megalithic structures on the planet. I mean, because only because the head of a secret group in Romania called basically the Romanian secret police. They had a man who was in charge of the whole project, and his name was this, by the way, is not fiction. It's all nonfiction. So his name was Cesar Brad, and then he was the teacher and the mentor for Radu Sinemar, and he just loved, or Chinemar, and he actually just loved Radu. And so he asked Radu to write books about what they were discovering. And so we have these seven books with detailed descriptions of what goes on with people attempting to go through these barriers, like to get into these sites, or people who are activating the time machines and time traveling and everything. And what's fascinating about what Radu has managed to do, and this is where Radu Chinemar and I just have an absolute joining of minds. Nobody's basically has ever met him because he just kind of disappeared a few years ago. But it what he showed, and he showed how, he showed that unless a person had activated 9 to 11 dimensions of consciousness in their brains, they could not activate and resonate with this technology. So from my point of view, having written about 9 to 11 dimensions of consciousness, and the other thing I investigated was the Blue Brain Project, because now scientists have managed to map these dimensions in the human brain. In other words, Debbie, we are 9 to 11 dimensional resonating beings. And if we develop and activate those levels of our consciousness, then we are able to interact and interface with this advanced technology. And I think the reason that it has been discovered now is because now it's time for the interaction. And can you imagine the levels that we go to? Like, for example, I love reading physicists, just love physics. And basically, back in 2012, when they discovered the Higgs boson particle in the particle accelerator in Switzerland, that discovery, right at the end of the Mayan calendar, verified superstring theory. Superstring theory is the mathematical method for working with dimensionality. And so then what happened in 2012? Physicists haven't done anything with this. In other words, they owed it to us to start helping us understand that from the point of view of physics, our reality functions by dimensionality. And so now what's happening is it's coming forth with archaeological discoveries. And gradually people are going to wake up and realize, what is it we're looking for? If you are going to have a total interface with your planetary system and your galaxy and your journey in this universe, if you're going to have that, you need to awaken multidimensional consciousness. So that's why this is happening.
Yeah, this is very powerful. I guess two things that are coming up. First of all, I learned, and I don't know if you know this, but I thought this was fascinating because you mentioned where did Radu go? So he was supported to write these books. He put them out in the world, then they were translated by Peter Moon into English. And so where is he? But did you know that Radu Chinamar is actually a palindrome that translates into Romanians with a gift? So we may never know really who he is.
Well, actually, see, we do know who he is because this is not fiction. This report, these books are true, and anybody who really studies them eventually comes to that conclusion. And as I understand it, what happened with Radu was that he learned what he wanted to learn and became omniscient. And like many, many people who reach that state of consciousness, unless he for some reason felt like he should do more, he's just in an altered state, happy as a coot. In other words, he gave, I know I'm giving my gift, and I know there's going to come a point where I'm going to be done with what I'm giving. And none of us has any obligation whatsoever to have to go on and do something forever and ever and ever, So I think it makes perfectly good sense that he's just sitting someplace meditating.
And as you were saying about Cesar Brad and Radu, it's incredible to think he was spending countless hours traveling back in time to access the real history of our species going back 1 million years. The most I've heard thus far has been 500,000 years. 1 million, that's a new number. That's pretty exciting. And apparently, he also studied how primate DNA was enhanced by beings from the Sirius star system.
That's right. Many things like that. And most of this information is in those seven books. And I've read all seven of them about three times. I'm reading them again because they're just so rich with information. But let me tell you from a personal point of view why I don't feel Radu owes me another word. What Radu did was, after working with the time machine for a couple of years and going back a million years and all that stuff, he finally said to himself, well, what does this mean for Romania? What about Romania? Like, what's special about Romania? And he went like, I want to really know the story of my culture. So what he did is he used the time traveling machine to go back over approximately 10 to 12,000 years on the land in Romania to get the, he learned about what the houses were like, how people lived, what their villages were like. He learned that Romania is kind of the generating culture after the last cataclysm. And let's just put it in there that around 12,000 years ago, we went through a terrible cataclysm on this planet and lost a lot of what we know. And so he went to the period basically after the cataclysm and just time traveled, watching people, what are they doing? And then he realized one day when he was on the time machine that people were gathering for a ceremony. And so he has a page in one of his books describing the ceremony that the people were doing in 9,000 years ago in Romania on the top of a mountain. And it is exactly the same ceremony that Jerry and I created and taught for 10 to 12, 15 years. Now, can you imagine what it was like for me to realize, like, oh my God, this is this teaching that Jerry and I have been working with is at least 9,000 years old. And now, of course, I've gone way back further. And I think this is the central energetic teaching for the planet Earth for 100,000 years. I think this is the issue of the Paleolithic era. And this is important information, by the way, this is Pleiadian information, but I know it's accurate. And this means that these sites that we're discovering are 50 to 100,000 years old, because they after we don't see the same technology or culture after 50,000 BC. You know?
Yes.
So
I
look
love
what
what you're
this man has
saying.
given us, you know? Ugh.
I think ceremony, just as an aside, is incredibly important. It always was. It's something we got away from with all our separation from nature and each other and the cosmos. And I think once again, this is going to be part of the healing, coming back as community into ceremony, into ritual, right? Into reverence. And you had mentioned a little bit earlier about the earth, about being here on the earth. And according to the Pleiadians who you channel, the Ps, you call them, the core of our earth is iron or crystal. I think this is very important that that's the center of the planet. And because we have iron in our blood, you say, we are wired to vibrate with Gaia, with Mother Earth through our blood. So beautiful. How do we access this? How do we use this intimate crystalline iron composition or components from the earth that also run through our bodies?
Well, as you know, there are blood healers. There are healers who work with different techniques for activating the blood in people's bodies to purify them, especially, I think, Guatemalan shamans. In other words, this is a healing technique on the planet. And so what will happen, this is why we need the information. What will happen is someone will hear it from you or read a book by me, maybe, where they'll realize, like, oh, I feel something in my body. And what happens is, if you have that resonance in your blood, and it's not everybody does, it's just a skill. Then what you're doing is you're resonating with the iron core crystal in the center of the earth. And the iron core crystal is the source of the Akashic records for our planet. So what happens is you can go into that iron core crystal and you can receive the information from the Akashic records. And medical intuitives can do this. These are all shamanic and ancient techniques that have just been lost that are coming back at this point.
And does this have something to do with why people who like to do healing, in various places around the earth will bring gems, bring crystals, and find a very sacred place to put it in and do a ceremony there to heal the earth or that portion of the earth.
Sure. And I work with crystals constantly, of course, to get what's great about crystals is that they're information storage units. Each crystal stores information. And so for many years, I'm a mother of four children. I had to work at a publishing company, writing books, busy life. And so I had different crystals. If I was working with a particular issue that I was trying to understand or activate, I would hold a certain crystal, and the crystal would store the records of what I was bringing in. And so really the way I was able to bring in the records of 9 to 11 dimensions was by working with the crystal for each one of the dimensions. And then that crystal just they've only been sitting around for a few million or billion years, and they'll just happily take more information.
That's so interesting. For the holidays, my sister-in-law asked me for a Lumerian seed crystal, star seed crystal, because she feels very connected to Lemuria. So anyway, I was able to work with somebody phenomenal to get her something special, and she loves it. She sits with it every day in order to acquire its information and for them to get to know each other, the crystal and she, to start forming a connection and a bond. I
Well,
think,
they're like little homes for us, aren't they?
yeah,
And they do it
little
happily.
hard drives.
Yeah, little hard drives, right, exactly. Yeah.
You bring up the shamans when in your I'm just going to hold up the book again for folks to see. Super worth it to get and invest your time in this book. In your book's chapter called Sixth Dimension, you write that shamans can read DNA language while in an altered state. Can you share more about the shamanic ability? How does it manifest? What does it mean?
Well, to tell you the truth, anybody who starts working with the sixth dimension intentionally is going to find that they have all kinds of skills all of a sudden. It's almost like a whole data bank goes into your body and into your consciousness, because the sixth dimension is the ideal form of an individual being or an individual animal, individual human. And the sixth dimension is what holds us in form in the third dimension. So, for example, if you want to avoid having your knees go out and having your health fall apart, do yoga, because yoga is a very ancient science that teaches us how to align our bodies with the sixth dimension. So you're going to automatically, if people start working, and see, that's what this book is really for, is to help people start realizing, like, hey, you can get into the sixth dimension and play there and tune into it and feel it and experience it. Anybody can, because this is how we are wired.
Also, you talk about how shamans see serpentine images. So, all of this is very meaningful to me. I've been on the shamanic path for over 5 years. This is a lot of what I speak about. I speak about shamans and extraterrestrials because I feel like there's a deep, loving, interesting connection there. But some of what you mentioned is just in a different way how you talk about it. So, it's beautiful for me. I talk about the animal medicine, so the serpent medicine, because it is beautiful medicine, and we're in the year of the snake, the wooden snake. So you were saying in your book, well, shamans will often see serpentine images, which is also true for those who ingest plant medicine. A lot of times they'll see a serpent. And you also said that shamans will often see the double ones that resemble the DNA double helix, also the caduceus. And so for me, this is wow, this is like letting go of no what lo what no longer serves us, which I also think is the energy of this year. What is the deeper meaning to this shamanic ability, or the reason why they see these doubled serpentine images and the medicine that brings?
Well, first of all, the double serpentine images, of course, are very close to DNA and very close to just the basic creative structure of life and of human bodies. But let's just shift it a little bit, Debbie, and say, okay, You're sitting there right now next to that really beautiful plant, and you're in the third dimension. But you also, this is where shamanism gets to be so interesting. You also actually exist in other parallel dimensions, which of course are very carefully described in my book. But, you know, you're very conscious of your body sitting there, and you're very conscious of what you're thinking about, what you're feeling. As you work with yourself more and you understand the qualities of each one of the dimensions, you can be right here in 3D, totally present, and you can absolutely be in the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, seventh dimension. You can do that. And it is really, really fun. It's the technology that the Italian scientists developed in order to get underneath the Giza Plateau and in order to create images of the structures. They created those images, and I don't understand the technology, and I've listened to them describe it, but they found a way to cause sound to manifest as form. And so those images that we see under the pyramids are actually being created by sound vibrations. The other imaging that they use for going under the surface is more, it has more to do with electromagnetic waves and stuff. But this is different. This is sound. Now, as you know from my book, sound is the seventh dimension. And so my husband, Jerry, is a very seventh dimensional being. Basically, he's an Andromedan. And it's fascinating to watch him listen, because I can tell that he's in the seventh dimension. And I find it very hard to get there, personally. Well, I have hearing aids, so that doesn't help.
Absolutely fascinating. You know, when you say this, that sound creates matter, it reminds me of Nikola Tesla, who said, if you want to know what the keys to the universe are, think about sound and frequency. And this was such a brilliant man.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely.
And earlier, Barbara, you were talking about your wonderful grandparents who essentially saved you at a time when you really needed someone to step in and usher you into this wisdom. You became his successor in transmitting Cherokee wisdom. And also part of what happened between you was that it was in order to prepare you so that you could share this information during times of global crisis. Hello, here we are. So
yeah, I know.
how does this recovery of ancient wisdom that is now within you need to play out right now? Can you share some things that we can do? You've talked about yoga. Obviously, reading your book and doing some of these meditations that you describe here. What else can people do right now that the Cherokees wanted us to know?
Well, okay, Grandpa was a record keeper. And they, in our tradition, the teachings are passed from man to woman, and then woman to man, and then man to woman. You never pass by generations to the same sex, because if you do, you'll start to have power imbalances. So my grandfather needed to pass to one of his daughters. He had three daughters and two sons. But his problem was, he consulted with the guides and everything, and they said the problem is they're not going to be alive in the 20, from 2000 to 2030 or whatever, because, you know, they're older. And so he decided he had to teach his granddaughter. So that's how I ended up receiving the teachings. And so if you really become more sensitive to a lot of things that are in your life, people are trying to teach you all the time. People are trying to pass wonderful, beautiful things to us all the time. And we've just gone through a period where people haven't been listening very much, which changed a lot. Boy, it changed a lot, like in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. It's been great. But we're in a period now where people aren't listening to other people very well. You know, part of it's COVID. That was part of the plot to shut us down. You know, whoever these powers are just decided if we can divide them and they'll conquer them, you know, That's just what we're that's what we're struggling to unravel right now. So we've really got to start listening to each other.
And you've also said that there's going to be an important eclipse that will occur in June 2027. Can you share some highlights about the event in 2027, what we can expect or what we may experience?
Unfortunately, what I saw in that vision was so overwhelming. This was back in 2022 when I saw what was coming in February of 2027. So like 5 years before, it was so overwhelming and so huge that I realized the only way that I could ever get a hold of it was to go season by season by season. So once I received that, what I did is the first teaching here is spring equinox 2023, and now we're spring equinox 20, so we've had like eight of them. And all I've been able to do literally is go season by season. Like with the teaching that came through this spring, I never in my life would I have ever thought I would say the things that I said in that teaching. So what I'm really working, and I guess what my intention for the rest of my life is to just find my voice and give what I can. And I think that's what all of us need to do.
Find your voice and give what you can. Yes, absolutely. We all came here to sing our song out loud and hopefully be a piece of the puzzle of heaven here on earth.
So
And
part of that particular date, that 2027 date, that's actually connected with Chiron's return to where it was when it was sighted back
the
in,
wounded healer.
Chiron the Wounded Healer. So we are going to have a full moon 2 days from now on. This Saturday is a full moon coming up. And in this full moon, which is the moon opposite the sun, obviously, Chiron is exact conjunct the sun. So the sun is conjunct Chiron opposite the full moon in Libra. And something is coming in the next 2 days. I have a feeling we really could be right in the middle of the progressive financial collapse. There's certainly plenty of indications that that could be true. And hang on to this one, because the one thing we know, if there is a financial crash with this full moon in the next few days, because Chiron is right there with the sun, it means that that financial crash will end up being a healing event. Because, they aren't all, some crashes are good, some crashes are bad. But if it happens with this full moon, you're going to know that you're going to be able to look at the whole thing and go, okay, I'm going to help my neighbor, I'm going to help my friends, and we're going to get through this.
Amazing. I've heard a lot of predictions around this time-ish talking. And when it comes to finances, I've heard it brought up about the banks. And so, this prediction you're saying around the full moon, the possibility here around finances and the crash, would it also impact our money in the banks
Oh,
specifically?
sure it will. Sure it will. Look, we all know. Let's get real about this. Everybody's pretty shaken up right now because you can't not see the truth of what's going on. It's happening. So I just wanted to bring that up because I wish I could tell you something about February of 22. I'm just going to have to get there season by season.
All right. Well, we'll stay
Whatever's
tuned to
going
you.
on is just amazing.
Well, so in order to do that, folks should go to handclow2012.com.
Yeah, and just follow along. You can subscribe to it, and I don't charge. I never charge for any of this stuff, but it'll come to you 4 times a year. Your name will never be given to anyone else, and or you can just dial it up when the equinox comes. Go to the website and see what it says. Either way.
Beautiful. Well, you talked about what you like the rest of your years to be like, your legacy to be like, and the best you can do at this point, and all of us can do. This is Dare to Dream. So, Barbara, what do you next dare to dream? What are your future goals?
I'm going to go visit the site in Montana. Now that I know, and I can't say when or anything like that, but I've been able to get through to the Guardians there. And I'm going to see it's possible. The Romanians, a group of people in Romania tried to get Jerry and I to come to Buzeci to do an activation in 2011. And we couldn't go that far. We couldn't take the time. But at that time, I thought that what people said about what was going on there was completely insane. I thought this is the most insane thing I've ever heard. Last thing I'm ever going to do is get anywhere near this. But I would love to be able to experience that energy here in our country.
Amazing Montana.
So
Okay,
that's what
well,
I'm dreaming about right now is going to Montana and visiting the stones.
I'd love to hear about it. I'll definitely be signing up on your website. Thank you so much for
Yes.
bringing this conversation to us today. And again, folks, this is just one of 15 books. You will not be sorry. This is Alchemy of Nine Dimensions. Obviously, you could get it on Amazon and at all major bookstores and platforms. Barbara, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
And Debbie, thank you so for being so well read and familiar with my material. I deeply appreciate that. And this has been wonderful.
For me as well. It's so special to talk to somebody like you. Folks, I
Yeah.
want to end today's show with this quote from Barbara Han Clow and her book, The Pleiadian Agenda. The best thing about the new energy field activating your planet is that you will find yourselves more able to create your own realities because the expansive nature of the Sirian geometric field makes synchronicities visible in 3D. If you just follow the connections between unrelated things, you can create anything. This expanded field will harmonize your body to any higher vibrations that you can detect. So let your body lead your choices. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, the weekly Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. Leave a comment, share, and like. I read all of your comments, and I'm so grateful that you guys are also on this journey. Next week on the podcast, I am featuring and speaking to Neil Garr, the founder of Portal to Ascension and a dear friend of mine. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this extraordinary conversation today.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashner, your number one transformation conversation.